The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, good morning and welcome to Tech Talk right here on Fire FM. And as always, we try to jump into all sorts of new gadgets, gizmos, platforms, systems, and the craziness that's going on in the tech revolution. Because if anything, things are accelerating as we close out 2025. This will be written up as one as the year that AI basically went completely and utterly mainstream. Even Google has succumbed to the AI madness. I mean, every Google search now is an AI search, if you want. As a default, it does pop up. But generally, AI and all the related sort of elements of AI, agentic AI, and all the various platforms and systems that we use are coming AI ready, AI built in, AI this, AI that. It's become a crazy, crazy, overwhelming trend. And we'll delve into that a little later. I'm going to talk about some of the latest developments in that space and also how it is used and affects absolutely everything that you do. It's quite unbelievable how the simplest things can change everything. And although AI is not particularly simple from its genesis all the way through to its execution, it is without question one of the most useful tools that has come out in many, many years. But we'll discuss that in a lot more detail a little later. And of course, it affects our gadgets, it affects our everything that we land up using. But in news in South Africa, we're going to get back to somewhat mundane things. Once again, driver's licenses have become a thing. The news is that the government now has admitted they're going to be moving to an 8-year license. But I have a feeling that this is a lot of talk without much action, because first and foremost, there still is only one machine that does it. And moving to an e-electronic license makes perfect sense, technically extremely feasible and relatively simple to employ, especially with all the new sort of technology that's going on within the Department of Home Affairs, like facial recognition, verifying your identity at a click of a button, things like that. So we are sitting in a situation where there's still somewhere around 170,000 driver's licenses that are not being printed, that are in the queue waiting for execution, which I'm sure many of us have had this hassle. Apparently, and according to Outer, your driver's license is valid for 3 months after the expiry date for everything. And in fact, there was a government gazette on that. You can actually use it for airlines, for hiring cars, as long as you have proof with you that you've applied for a new license. Thereafter, you have to apply for a temporary license, and that's valid for an additional 6 months. So it's a crazy workaround for a basic utility that is both an ID and a necessary thing to get going. So let's watch the space. Technology should and does and must completely revolutionize this. More and more countries are moving to e-driver's licenses that are built into the security platform on iOS or Android. It's rolling out through America in some states. It's starting to gain traction in Europe. And it's just an extremely logical and simple way to ensure that you always, have your necessary docs on you. And in truth, it's easy to verify if you've got a QR code. It can be checked with any national database anywhere in the world, and it can work extremely well. So let's hope that this sort of analog, plastic, non-tech thing goes away in the nearish future to give us a slick, easy, very simple to verify, very simple to update. So you go online, you enter your details, you verify yourself against the database, it checks you have a current license, you put in your credit card, and your new license is issued immediately. No waits, no queues, no delays, none of that nonsense. Again, so easy to implement, could be done very simply, very quickly by many, many different platforms. But bureaucracy does as bureaucracy does. And we sit here in a situation where we have old pieces of plastic that are not particularly globally acceptable because of the nature and the style, easy to create a fraudulent copy. So here we go. Let's hope that finally we're going to see some changes, some stuff coming out of government that will absolutely do that. And in other really related news, but makes a lot of sense, the Rand's improvement over the last 6 months, which is now sitting at around about just under 17, or just around 17 to the dollar, has made top-tier AI subscriptions really far cheaper. So, for example, ChatGPT Plus was nearly 500 Rand a month. It's now in the range of 420, 425 Rand a month. Claude Pro has also dropped from about 500 down to about 400. Grok 4, which is the new Super Grok, or the X Premium version of it, if you do it through X, was also dropped by over 100 Rand. It's still expensive for $6.99, give or take. So there's no question that locking it in for an annual, if you can afford it, with the Rand where it is, if you expect the Rand to get even better, well, then hang in there. But speculation can cost you money. But if you want some of the best, essentially a world-class researcher, writer, or tutor, or whatever it is that you do with AI, you can get it for approximately a couple of cups of coffee a month. Now, these days, if you go and have a big, fancy cappuccino somewhere and a sandwich, you're spending the better part of 100 Rand. So it really makes sense to have such, you know, easily used, easily accessible technology at your fingertips, as we'll discuss in the Tech Talk segment, which is coming up right now. But having a super intelligent AI assistant always on call is actually a very smart. I mean, I've held off and tried to use the free versions over the last couple of months, and I've then tried the trials of many of the sort of advanced versions. And there is a marked improvement, especially if you start uploading documents. Again, be very careful of uploading stuff to the general web. But there are a lot of benefits. So have a look at it. It, as I say, you know, drop a couple of cups of coffee at Starbucks and have a sort of university level researcher in your pocket with 30 seconds to go. So that is really, really good news. And in other really interesting, sort of just the latest updates, more and more people are using what to travel these next couple of months, next couple of weeks. We're going to see a lot of people going overseas. And a very, very simple hack using one of the many platforms. I've tried Irelo over the years. I've tried No Roaming. There are many, many eSIM platforms that you can get. But an eSIM for travel makes a lot of sense. MTN and Vodacom are offering a similar service at similar sort of prices, but it just makes absolute sense. Whatever country you're going to, you load up an eSIM and you can buy them right now if there's still some Cyber Monday deals like 50% off available, and you can use them when you need them. So you can use them within 90 days, I think, some of them. Some just last forever. So have a good look at an eSIM for travel if you're leaving the country and you're going to do anything. There's absolutely nothing cooler than landing in a foreign country, turning on your phone, just activating the, you don't even have to activate, just switch on the eSIM that you installed, and boom, you've got full data. You can make WhatsApp calls, except in the Middle East. Some of the UAE countries don't like that, but other than that, you can then communicate, use your maps, check what you need to do, catch up on your emails, all before you get off the plane in a strange country. So it's highly recommended. You do not use roaming, normal roaming. It's super expensive and a little bit crazy. But on that note, we're going to have a quick break for our sponsors. We've got a quick live read. And then we're going to be talking about living with super intelligent AI. And that is something we're going to all have to do starting now. We'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
So now moving on to essentially the topic of the week. Now, this is something I've literally been banging on over the last year. It's hard to miss. It's hard to ignore. You open up your browser, you just search for anything, and poop. If it's Android, doesn't matter which one you use, you'll end up with some sort of AI recommendation. So living with a super intelligent AI assistant in your pocket really does become something that you have to learn to use, to work with, and to understand. And there are literally pros and cons. The average time spent researching anything on the internet used to run into hours. And in fact, it was a bottomless pit of search and refinement and further search and linking and checking and on and on and on. I mean, as part of my work over the many years, especially within the sort of media space and understanding mobile and understanding all sorts of things around technology, I must have spent the better part of years searching the internet for information, refining it, understanding it, and doing all sorts of work based on what I did on the internet. Now, with the rise of so-called AI, again, it's still not, you know, real intelligence. It's still machine-based algorithms that give you the semblance of real intelligence. However, that is in itself not a problem. I don't think we should quibble about definitions of AI particularly, other than realizing that on the flip side, there are often very convincing advices, research conclusions, and sorts of information given by AI that are practically wrong. Simple as that. They're either made up with links that don't work, or made up with regard to the structure of what's going on, or conclusions are drawn that are not particularly smart or intelligent, but reflect either a really clever construction created by the AI. But we'll talk a little bit about that down the road. But without question, that super intelligent AI, the whole rise of what they call agentic AI, which we've discussed, which means that the AI itself spawns other little mini conversations with other AIs or other platforms. The two talk to each other, come to conclusions, give you information, and work as a whole host of mini assistants, either in parallel or sequentially. Often AI works extremely sequentially. It goes through a very structured thinking process, which is created and managed in the back end by the AI algorithm itself, and or it does multiple, sends out information, waits for it to come back, collates and deals with everything. But the simple fact is the biggest shift in the world over the last year has been the rise of AI and what it does. And literally in the last 3 weeks, three brand new AI models that are actually genuinely different from anything else that existed before have been released. The first one, and actually I will profess my preference, is Grok. It has a really interesting interface. It's a little bit irreverent. It's a little bit friendly, maybe too friendly in some cases. It comes across as your personal friend, assistant, come coworker, which is cool. But again, watch out for the dangers of trusting everything that this platform tells you. But on the other hand, the way that it thinks, the methodology that it uses to come up with conclusions, information, is pretty astounding. And depending on which version you use, obviously the latest version is now the XAI Grok 4.1 running in beta. A lot of us can try it, no problem. It launched during November. And this was trained on 200,000 GPUs, which are graphic processing units, NVIDIA stuff, I will tell you. And it scored 95% on the American Invitational Maths exam, which is literally higher than any human has ever achieved in one sitting. So here comes a computer program that is essentially outperforming any human being that has tried a really tough and globally recognized exam just in seconds rather than in hours of hard work. And moving on from that, the second big launch, which is really new, is the new Claude version from Anthropic. They call it 3.7, but whatever. Also has a 200,000 token context, which means it's about 400 pages of information you can upload and deal with. And it interestingly has some of the strongest, and I must say, I found it a little bit cool and unengaging, but it does have the strongest safety guardrails with regard to hallucinations and other information and things that come out. And the next one, everyone knows about ChatGPT, but they've just launched ChatGPT 4.5 Turbo, which is OpenAI's latest surprise drop. It just launched a couple of days ago. And this one has been quite eye-opening. I've run a couple of analyses through it. I've tried to use it in some interesting ways. And it is noticeably better, from all the reports that I've read, at scientific and legal reasoning, which is interesting because it depends where that information is coming from and where that stuff goes to. But I realize, and I think this is where I think it is very, very important to understand the power and the limitations of AI. The AIs can only give you information that it has. It cannot create or infer truly in an intelligent way from current information. And often, many, many, many times, you should actually recheck AIs with other AIs. So if you run an interesting query, especially around legal or scientific facts on ChatGPT, rerun it on Grok and ask Grok to check the facts. And you'll often find that sometimes it says, no, these things don't make sense, and certain assumptions that have been offered are not correct, and vice versa. I've done that. I've used various other platforms that combine the various AIs and use them interchangeably to do exactly that. And often through a lot of work, you can get very, very clear answers for the most unbelievable amount of information. And where it works the very best is where you're trying to get complicated matters sorted out. So for example, a lot of people have done this. You go and get your blood tests done, and you get this sheet of numbers and things that make very little sense. Upload that into one of the AIs as a thing. Give it a little bit of background, your age, your weight, your any other issues that you may have medically, and ask it to review a full report or a histology report from an oncologist, and tell it in no uncertain terms that you've got to explain this to an average 40-year-old who has no real medical knowledge. And literally 9 seconds to a couple of 30 seconds later, you've got a reply that's clearer than most specialists manage in a consult. So now, I'm not trying to give you medical advice, and I really, really say that you should not take medical advice from any computer platform without referring any of that information to your doctor. But the point I'm trying to make is that by submitting this type of information and using all the information that these various AIs have gathered over the years, sounds like they've been going forever, but in the recent past, and looking at it and laying it out in a logical, clear fashion, can certainly give you a way clearer view of what's going on than a 5-minute or 10-minute consultation with your doctor. But again, I must reiterate that anything that the AI tells you, especially around health, law, or any other specialist stuff, do not take it as gospel, but use it to increase your knowledge and your ability to understand the issues that you're dealing with. So a simple other use that I came across is a company decided to sell a product, let's say wine, and decided to write tasting notes in English and Afrikaans and in Mandarin, and then generate matching photographs based on those languages and post that on the web. Well, I read an article where a company, Stellenbosch Wine Estate, did this and used Grok 4 to do it. And export inquiries tripled within 10 days simply because that information was now out there on the web. It was available to the various AIs in the relevant language. Though I will say something extremely interesting. If you do some research in a foreign language or in a country, let's say in Portugal, where you need to know something about Portuguese law, Portuguese whatever, And most of that information is not available in English, but you do the research in English using an AI. The AI, because of its ability to translate and understand multiple languages, gives you all the information you need with the references to the Portuguese information very simply, very quickly, and very easily. But that's a very different use in terms of research and understanding a foreign language or foreign country's legal or operational or whatever things you need to know. But then advertising, as I said, with the wine estate type example. But the simple fact is reach people where they are, reach them in their native language, and it has a really quick and easy way to do it. In the good old days, talk like I'm 100 years old, which is close, but not real. You used to go and do a user translation app, which helped a lot. Sometimes they were terrible, sometimes they were okay. Even Google Translate was very stilted and not very natural. But before that, you had to actually find and engage translators to do this type of work and to give you the necessary information. It was expensive, it was time consuming. Now, literally, that can be done in 30 seconds. Another really good use of AI, which a lot of people have been doing, is to learn languages or to learn things such as maths. Now, the best part about maths is that it is essentially an exact science. So 1 and 1, 99.9999 to infinity, is generally 2. So there's not a lot of interpretation. There's not a lot of looseness or opportunity for hallucination in mathematical pure mathematical stuff. So if you use, let's say, Grok or one of the, or Claude, to become a private maths tutor and do that over a period based on a curriculum that you either upload or inform the AI about, it absolutely can help you understand any subject of that nature in an incredibly useful way. Now, I've tried that from a number of things. The other really interesting area where this works is if you want, again, we're talking about traveling, you're going to Indonesia for a couple of days, and you want to have a couple of phrases or learn a little bit about the language. And you do that. You ask your AI, generally one of the more advanced ones, to set up a basic training with basic language and greetings that you must know over a period, and ask it to train you. It'll help you not only with words, but it can help you pronounce it. It'll correct you. It'll be an absolute tutor. And not to say that some of the more advanced platforms that like Babel and those that teach you languages, you can actually set up your AI to become a tutor for any language in real time with voice, which is absolutely incredible. I've been using it, and I've had whole conversations with the AI to help me understand a new language better and to correct my pronunciation. And it can actually be regional, which is phenomenal. You can tell it to go for the southern region or the northern region or German traditional or whatever you want to do. Don't try Swiss German. That's a whole another universe. But anyway, based on all of that, you can use any one of the AIs, Grok or ChatGPT, as a private tutor for anything that is particularly easy and understandable up to the highest level, university grade. The next and most impressive thing that I've seen that these new platforms can do, and they could do before, and again, be extremely careful with this. Do not upload documents into open AIs. Now, more and more businesses, certainly law firms and other large organizations, are using the exact same algorithms and training them on all their own information, as well as all the information within a set of laws. So the laws of South Africa, the entire compendium of every law, every decision, every ruling that has ever been done can be stored. Every format, every document that the company has ever created or used that sat in a database somewhere can be referenced. And then you feed your 120-page contract into that database and ask it to list every clause that will help us if the RAND falls, or every clause that will hurt us if, for example, your partner's business closes down. Any one of those things can be done in 45 seconds. For many of us over the years, we've done this type of stuff. It's either taken hours and hours of reading, or you hand it across to another attorney or to some legal advisor, and you give them a week to go through the contract at a huge amount of rand per hour and to advise you on what they think. Without question, that use of AI in that space can completely and utterly revolutionize your understanding of what you're doing, your understanding of complex contracts, and your ability to actually move really quickly within business based on the types of contracts. Again, these tools still hallucinate. Even as of today, doing some research for this show, I found that the AIs come up with stuff that is absolutely patently not true. I gave it parameters and it decided to make the facts fit the parameters rather than the other way around. How? I'm not sure why. I was very clear. You have to be extremely explicit. Use actual data only. Give me the reference links from where you got the data. Do not infer dates, times, things. You can make the AI extremely clear, but you have to treat it like a basic machine. You have to be absolutely explicit in your requests and in your prompts as to what it is that you want to do. If you're doing something simple like, I'm looking for the best recipe for grilled steak this evening, that's easy. Up will come a million ways of looking at things. And if you put a little bit too much pepper, not serious. But if you are taking a business thing and you're asking some particularly important advice that could affect your business, affect your life, you've got to be extremely explicit about researching on the internet. Now, what is really interesting is that AI over the last year has improved. When I say dramatically, I cannot overstate how dramatically in that regard. So a year ago, if you tried something that was pretty complicated, the amount of nonsense you would get, along with some incredible nuggets of useful information, was intense. Call it 40%, maybe. Today, you're down in a very low couple of percent in many, many instances. So the data and the information is getting better and better and better. And it's certainly, definitely becoming something that you should use every single day in your general life. And don't think of it as a simple web program. This is way, way, way more than that. And on that note, I've been told we have another quick break for our sponsors. And I'll be back with some gadgets and gizmos and then some last thoughts before the show ends today. So we'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And moving on from my little AI overview and craziness that the whole, you know, AI assistant has brought to our lives, into more practical gadget. Now, mobile phones have literally becoming indispensable. I mean, it's hard to overestimate that everyone's sitting with one of these things in their pockets to do everything, even the stuff we were talking about earlier. AI is embedding itself at a really fundamental level within the phones. And you know what they say, the best technology is the one you don't even notice. You just use it and it does the job that you want without you giving it much thought. And that sums up for the most part where AI is fitting in with mobile phones. And as an aside, before I get into the Xiaomi 14T, which has recently been launched in South Africa, I just want to make one comment that in many ways, I think that Google and its Android product and its AI implementation, either with its partners like Samsung and many other Android phones, has surpassed the other major player in the mobile industry, which is Apple, with regard to its AI in day-to-day, everyday, practical uses, pretty substantially. Not to say that Apple AI, or as they call it, well, Apple AI is AI, Apple Intelligence, is not good and growing and becoming more and more embedded within the operating system with the latest launch of the 26.2. Well, it should be out next week sometime or in the next 10 days. The the latest version of its operating system, definitely has seen major advances in terms of AI use and AI embeddedness within the context of what you do. So pictures and searching and all sorts of things have improved dramatically. Within the Android ecosystem, I must say that the embedded AI utility has definitely outstripped pretty much anything else in the market, and it works extremely well from Circle to Search in Samsung to just AI assistant in voice translation to it being built into the browser, into the camera, into the voice recorder, into absolutely every element of the device that you hardly notice, but dealing with, speaking to your phone becomes noticeably better. Using it in Android Auto becomes easier to use. The same, funny enough, is applying with Siri, which is still a bit dumb. It's about time they replaced it with something a bit smarter, or gave it a bit more smarts in the back end. But still, the using of AI in all these various devices absolutely has made them far, far better. But phones have become pretty stupidly expensive. We're talking the high-end phones run from anywhere from 30 to 50,000 Rand with a cluster of sort of near high-end, not their absolute flagships, between 20 and 30, which is significant money. If you're changing your phone every 2 years, which is about the sweet spot for most phones, it's a big investment. I know these phones are incredibly useful, and I know the mobile networks make it pretty simple to, you know, pay that 1,200 or 1,000 whatever a month for a phone, which is still significant money. And you don't feel the fact that part of that is built into the device itself. But looking for a really high-end phone with really good quality specs and all the flagship features is tough. So the Xiaomi is selling at around about 16,000 Rand at major retailers and on the various platforms, you know, MTN, Vodacom, all the other guys, at a very reasonable price. It offers flagship smartphone features like a 6.67 AMOLED display with really fast 144 hertz refresh for those of you that love gaming, and smooth motion in terms of videos and the rest makes a huge difference. It's powered not by Snapdragon, which is the sort of flagship processor in the big top-end phones, but with a really interesting processor from MediaTek. It's called the Dimensity 8300 Ultra or whatever. But the MediaTek products over the last few years have really risen to compete with some of the top processors from Qualcomm. And they certainly, at a price performance ratio, that is pretty good. This unit comes with 12 gig of RAM, which is significant. In the good old days, they used to have a gig or two of RAM, but now 12 gig seems to become more standard. And that is the processing memory built to work alongside the processor. So in other words, it's not your storage, which is pretty good, generally around about 256 to 512 gig. Which is more than enough, especially with cloud and offloading some of your pictures into the cloud. You don't really need to store an enormous amount of stuff on your phone directly, but you can if you want. But Xiaomi have also worked with Leica for many years. Now, Leica are definitely one of the top camera people in the world, and their Leica-tuned camera system with a 50-megapixel main camera really does excel at low light. The little bit of time that I've spent with this device, it is fast. The camera quality is great. The build quality is pretty aluminium generic. It looks like many other phones, but it's solid, beautifully put together. The back camera view, again, looks a little bit like other devices. Won't mention which ones, but the cameras are excellent. Leica certainly do know their cameras, and they're fast. They're easy to use. The camera, the picture quality is pretty spectacular. It also comes with a very big 5,000 milliamp hour battery. And in combination with the new MediaTek processor, which is always a big thing, it really does it give you an easy day and a half of usage. So you can get through a pretty heavy day. If you're gaming or you're doing a lot of video work with a screen on bright, you're not going to get through a day with cameras with a one battery charge. But with normal use, where you're doing some social media, a bit of WhatsApping, some phone calls, a bit of searching, whatnot, you'll easily get through a full day without having to keep charging your battery, which is great. But here's where it gets super interesting. If you take their charger, you can get up to 120-watt fast charging. So you can go from 0 to 80% in 20 minutes, easy. in fact, less. So if you just sit down at your desk, plug your phone in for 5-10 minutes, you can get 20, 30, 40% charge really fast. It gets warm, which is a side byproduct. Don't worry about it. They all get warm when they charge fast. But it is really an excellent, excellent device at that sort of price. Not a lot to miss. You can feel, compared to the absolute Samsung and Apple iPhone flagships, you can feel it's maybe a little less fast, but something that you don't really notice in day-to-day use. You can find some of the gameplay is a little jerky, takes a little longer to load. But those are very, I'm being nitpicky here in terms of that. But you're saving 10 to 15,000 Rand, which is double the price. It's nothing to sniff at. But really, the balance of performance and price make it an extremely strong contender for a really good quality phone that'll give you at least 2 years of use, lots of updates through the Android ecosystem. Xiaomi have always been very good at updating their phones and keeping them. The UI interface is slick and modern and clean based on the latest versions of Android, which, again, is starting to make it really difficult to separate the various phones from each other because there's such a dominant feel through the latest versions of Android. But it works extremely well with good cameras, good battery life, nice screen. Always use a cover because they're a little bit fragile in terms of aluminium and glass. But great, great device in terms of what you should or shouldn't buy within the mobile phone space. And that sweet spot in the mid-range, around about 15 up to about 20,000, depending on storage, has definitely become very competitive. For an extra 10 grand, you get 15, maybe 10, maybe 5% more performance. But that's up to you. So have a check, have a good look at and check out the Xiaomi 14T. There are pro models that are available globally, but certainly in South Africa, that one's available and is really easy to use and a great device. So we'll be back again straight after this. Our sponsors have got a couple of things you just have to hear. We'll be back after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back, and I know I'm in the last few minutes of the show, but I just wanted to touch on a gadget that I've played with very briefly, had some time, played some music on it, and that's a new unit called the Sony ULT Field 3 Bluetooth speaker. I love Sony. They always use way too many words to describe a simple Bluetooth speaker that's waterproof, reasonably priced, with really good quality sound. It is a bit bass heavy, but I think they're playing to their user base. But it's rugged. It's designed to take outdoors and party and with the summer on us and people heading to the beach and heading to their sort of getaway retreats and wanting to take some music along with them. This is a great unit. It's got 12 hours battery life. It's IP67 water and dust resistant. It actually does float. And it's got built-in LED lights, which will sync with the music if you really want to have a little party on the side. So check it out. It's selling around about 2.5 grand online and various Cakelots and Hi-Fi Corps, etc. But if you're looking for something to take with you on holiday that's not too heavy, good battery life, easy to use, connects to pretty much anything, perfect for any of your braais, beach days, it's cylindrical, it's really easy, and you can use the microphone for karaoke if you really want to. What I like, it doesn't distort, it plays extremely loud, even in the open air, and just a great, easy thing to take with you wherever you go, and use it for gym sessions, whatever it is that you want to do. So check out the new Sony ULT Field 3. Won't add the Bluetooth speaker on that. And now some closing thoughts before we go. Really, because we live in a world that is fraught with all sorts of nonsense, you should do the following thing on your iPhone or your Android. Switch on stolen device protection. There is a lot of talk that people either have their phone stolen or lost, and the next thing, they're compromised. If they grab it out of your hand while you're using it and it's unlocked, you can lose all your passwords and all sorts of stuff. So turn on, takes two taps, turn on stolen device protection on both your iPhone and your Android, and it allows you to either shut down, wipe, or track your phone if you need to, if it is absolutely stolen. So that's an easy one to do, and especially with people being relaxed, It's time to get out there. One last thing I want to recommend is that you've got a bit of time over the holidays, download a free password manager. Most of them give you one device free, and many devices cost you money. Sometimes it's worth paying. Generally, I would say it is. And move all your passwords across to this and don't reuse the same password across 40 different websites. Just a safety feature within the space. More and more websites, more and more people do the same thing, keep an easy password on everything. And as they get compromised, it's really, really going to cost you in the long term. So whatever, the $5, $20, whatever it costs to get a decent password manager makes all the difference. One master password to hide all the rest and let it generate crazy passwords so no one can guess them. Yeah. And then the last thing before we wrap up, just type the following thing into any AI that matters. Give me a calm 5-minute summary of the technology news I missed this month. I'm doing myself out of a job. Try that. Just type it in. Give me a 5-minute summary of the technology news I missed this month. And you'll get a really cool summary from all the various AIs of some interesting stuff in the tech space. And on that note, I'm going to bid you farewell till the same place, same time next week, right here on Chai FM. This is Stephen Ambrose for Tech Talk.